Welcome to Full and Share Theology. We're your hosts, Justin Mercier and Bruce Pagano, and this is Theology for Everyone. Hey, welcome back to Full and Share Theology. We're your hosts, Justin Mercier and Bruce Pagano.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, and this is our face after a couple weeks of being off.
Months. A couple months, right?
Has it been a couple months?
I don't know. I feel like, it's been a while. Hold on.
As I say, I think that we,
July 15th, couple weeks. So it's been over a month and a half almost. I didn't post that last episode, and we didn't do any, which good thing I didn't post that last episode, which was just a wrap up for the season, because we promised that we were going to do a Just in Time and a Spruce of Bruce, and we didn't do either one of those. So
I know it's funny how life just gets kind of crazy, and then you sit back and you go, oh shoot, I was going to do that. Because for us, not yet. And maybe not for you, maybe someday for me, this would be a full-time job. That would be great. And I would have time to do it. But, my little one's in school for the first time. I got my wife in school, going back to college for the first time. I'm training for a competition. I mean, just life is just, fun right now.
And we're kind of in the same space. School started back up. And I know that. There's some people I know that school didn't start back until after September, which is grown up. That's kind of what, when I was growing up, that was kind of how it was school started the Tuesday after Labor Day. But for some reason, school started August 17th here. And then my wife's been just on call and delivering babies every other day. And I'm just slammed. I'm pretty constantly full at my practice. And in between traveling and camping and
I was gonna say we went camping. That was fun. Mm-hmm. Do you have a high and a low of camping?
So high would be I just got to spend time with my people. A low would be that it was camping. I got to spend time with my people during camping. So
nice.
I think I've been pretty open about what I think about camping, right? Haven't I on the show?
And here's the thing is that I think that there's some advocates in the group that would say, maybe Bruce is right. Maybe we should start looking at doing some cabins,
Yeah, they did. But I feel like they promised that before and nobody's come through yet.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like I'm being strung along just so that I'll stay with the program.
Yeah.
The low part, actually, I'll give you the low part was the bathroom. The low part was the bathroom. It was,
We found out later, in the
second or third
camping
day.
Trip.
Yeah.
Yeah. We found out that the National Forest Rangers, they told us that.
Oh, the National Park Service.
The National Park Service. They said that they completely cut their funding for these specific areas, and one of them was regular bathroom maintenance and cleaning and that sort of thing.
Right, and it'd been seven months already.
So they said literally,
right?
I mean, oh, they were like, they're like, we cleaned in the beginning of the year, and now is it like
it was 8 months,
and so it's been 8 months, and so the camp counselor or camp host guy, basically was kind of taking it upon himself to try to keep it clean and that sort of thing. But he had some sort of family emergency while we were there
in Canada. Colorado.
Yeah. And so for us, it was completely obliterated. It was disgusting. It was gross. So it was really, really rough.
And then people were trying to pour their camper toilet in there.
Yeah. Which
they
did.
They didn't try. They did it.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's because they probably just didn't want to pay to do it somewhere else. So they just figured, I'll just dump it in here. And
it was pretty gross. So that was a low.
Yeah, it was really bad.
It's pretty low. Excuse me. So what was your high?
No, it was really, really bad. Let me see. I think that my high, Well, I think one, I think a really fun, a fun moment was, so the first night we were there, it was nonstop lightning and thunder. I mean, literally
That
from
night,
like
yep.
from 1 a.m. till 5 a.m., it was flash, 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 and just like rolling thunder, like just rolling, rolling, rolling. Didn't stop. My wife and I were absolutely just like, what is this? This is nuts, you know? So we woke up at like 4:30 in the morning or whatever, and we decided, you know, we're gonna wake up, we're gonna build a fire and that sort of thing. And we noticed that all of the chairs, all of our camping chairs were just soaked. Like we were just soaked. So my wife and I built this really big fire. I mean, we were just the two of us, and we huddled all the chairs around the fire, and we were drying everybody's chair. In the midst of that, I was making coffee, and we were just laughing, and we were just talking, and we were just, you know, just laughing at the fact that we had not slept at all that night, you know, kind of thing. And it was just a really good memory, just me and my wife, just in that early morning. And then I think you and I, we won a bunch of games of cornhole. I had won poker. You know, just fun games. That's sort of the breakfast burritos were amazing that you made.
Thanks.
So those are some really good memories. It was also my little one's first time ever camping, and I've just never seen her so free. You know, she was just running around and just like pretending and having a good time. I just never seen her kind of like that free before, and so that was really nice to see that.
That's cool. Yeah, it was a good time. I like the campsite in general. Like we've been to better. Like it wasn't horrible, but like I think that like access to the water was a little bit more difficult this time. The hot spring was hot. Like it was ridiculous. Like that thing was
Oh no.
literally lava.
No, it really was.
It
I
was
was really, actually, I was kind of upset. I was like, why would they not post something that says this water is literally boiling? Like, I mean, like your little one fell into it at one point, and
Yeah, I wasn't there. I wasn't there for
her legs were just beet red, you know, and it
that.
was just like, I felt so bad because
Yeah.
I'm
My
like,
dog stepped in it and fell back in it.
And I mean, it was literally like, it was really dangerous. I
Yeah.
mean, I dangerously hot. So I was upset that no one labeled that. But once we got into like the mixture of the cold
Where it
water and hot
mixed with the
water.
river. Yeah. Yeah, it was nice. It was stinking freaking hot water, but like it was nice once it got down there. And just in general, like it was just fun. But I did like usually we camp at a different place, and I did miss that as far as like that goes. As far as camping goes, I would have preferred that.
I think we need to do like a houseboat. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, where would it be? Just on like a lake?
Maybe like in McCall or something.
Yeah, although like I'm still down for a cabin near a hot spring, 'cause like there's a place up in Featherville called Miracle Hot Springs. And
Yeah, I've been there before.
have you?
Yeah.
It's nice. Like
It's nice.
Yeah, I would have preferred that.
Yeah, well, next year or maybe this winter. This winter would be
We were
really
talking
nice.
about like doing it in January or something like that, maybe, or February.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
I'm a cold weather fan, and let me tell you, so for people who don't know, in Idaho, we hit a record this year.
Oh, did we?
This has been the hottest summer in Idaho since keeping record in the 1800s. This has been the most 100 plus degree weather in a summer, like most days of 100 degrees or more, than ever in history. since we've started
Jeez.
keeping since we started keeping history in the 1800s.
No joke.
And like literally like we're getting into September and it's like 100 degrees like every day for the next like 9 days.
It's been like in the 90s for us.
Yeah, so in Twin Falls, it's gonna be almost 100 tomorrow, 101 the next day. It's gonna be
Oh, we're in a
102.
heat advisory. Yep.
So literally,
Yep.
it's gonna be the
105 on
lowest.
Wednesday.
Yeah, that's what I'm
102,
saying.
101, 102. Oh, that's new
But
because it wasn't like that. And then
yeah,
by mid-September, we're going to be back down to 85.
all right. Which I'll take that for sure. Like I'll take
Yeah.
85. But like I'm ready for that October, 72 degrees. Leaves are changing, pumpkin spice is a thing again, like corn maze. You know, I'm ready for that time of year. I'm so excited for that time of year.
Sarah was talking about like trying to figure out like what to make for dinners, like, and she was like, I so badly want to put soup on there, but it's 100 degrees almost. I can't,
Know.
like, I can't convince myself that it's a good idea to cook soup for dinner. I was
Seriously.
like, yeah. Daniel would be like, it's never a good idea to cook soup for dinner.
Yeah, right. You know, I like a real good, like, yeah, when it's like raining fall time and
Yeah.
it's like the high of 69 degrees or something like that. I'm looking for a potato, sausage, cheese,
Yeah.
corn soup, you know, with my sweatshirt on and all the windows open. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm ready for
It's,
that.
in my brain defeats the purpose of having a sweatshirt on.
Well,
Like you could have the
it's one of those
windows
things where
closed and not
like,
have a sweatshirt on.
well, it's really weird. Like the way that our body is, like, here's the thing is I have this air conditioner. It has been running on high for weeks. Like we haven't touched it, stopped it at all. It's just going. Because we just are so warm, you know? And so I'm just excited to be able to be like, shut all those off and like open the windows. And if I'm cold, I can wear sweatshirt,
Yeah, I like sweater weather or sweatshirt weather. But we don't like, well, that's not true. Like since Sarah had Hazel, she was always like super cold. But since she had Hazel, like she'll sleep with the sheets off, like the blankets and sheets off often. Like,
yeah.
she gets way hot now. Like her body chemistry temperature changed once she had our daughter. So,
Yep, when I had Hensley, I was still warm.
yeah, when you had Hensley, yeah, tell your
No,
wife that.
it's,
Yeah.
you know, but you know, here's the thing is that Jessica used to be the same way. Jessica used to be super cold all the time, but then literally living with me and having the house set at like 65 degrees at all times. Now, whenever it gets to like 70, she's like, "It's so hot in
That's
here."
not the way she
So.
tells it. The last time that we were at the Dillmans, she was just like, oh, we sleep with the windows open and stuff. I still am cold.
Oh, for sure she's cold. For sure. But like when it gets to like 70, 71, 72 degrees, she's like, "Oh, it's starting to get warm in here." Where before it'd be like 90 and she'd be like, "I'm kind of warm, you know."
I feel like you're telling yourself that way, that to make it feel, or just to like feel better about the fact that you're a polar bear and you sleep in 30 degree weather.
Well, here's the thing is I don't know if it's like a misogynistic thing or whatever, but I'm like, she can have everything else. I don't care about anything else. I just want a cold in the house. You know
Right.
what I'm
I just
saying?
want it
Like,
cold. Yeah.
I just want a cold. Like,
I
that's
just want to
all.
pretend I'm Rocky punching a side of beef. Hey.
Seriously, best job ever. That
Yeah.
sounds awesome. No.
Actually, we just bought a quarter of a cow.
Yeah, I'd like to be able to do that someday. Do you take it to the butcher and let them do it?
We like bought it from a lady who like is gonna have the whole cow butchered, and we just bought a quarter of it, so they're gonna give us like, I think it's gonna end up being like, I don't know, 120 pounds of meat, like all different types of cuts. Like we just had a call the other day where we discussed the different types of cuts that it's gonna involve.
That's what, every get to a point where you need to get rid of it, let me know.
Well, hopefully what happened, or last time we bought an eighth of a cow, the very last cut of meat that we had was in the chest freezer, and it was a brisket. It was a brisket that we're gonna smoke. We're gonna have some friends smoke it, and Malachi thought that it'd be a super solid idea to unplug the freezer so that he could plug in a space heater so that they could hang out in the garage in like
Oh
November,
no.
and it thawed. And I found it like
Oh.
3 days later. I was just like, I was so mad. Why would you do this and then not plug it back in? I don't know, which is what 12-year-olds say. I don't know. Like, I was so pissed.
I want to get on this thing, because that apparently it's a big thing here in Twin Falls. Like, there's multiple people in my gym who are like, oh yeah, I just paid $400 for a half a cow, and I'm sending it to the butcher, and they're gonna butcher it for us, and blah blah blah. And I'm just like, I want in on that. Like, I want that. Like,
Ours is not going to cost us $400. This is going to cost considerably more. Just because, like, you could buy just because of the processing and stuff. But, like, I've had people say, oh, you can buy, like, go in with four people and buy a cow for, like, $600. But then you have to pay for the butchering and the, like, or, like, you could probably get a baby cow for way cheaper than that. But then somebody's got to feed it, and you're going to pay for all that until it's ready to harvest. Anyway, we are
That's what I
not paying
like.
just $400.
Well, a lot of these farmers out here, they all trade too. You
Oh
know, it's
yeah.
like, give me that $400 worth of half a cow, I'll give you a bunch of wheat or something, or hay or something like that. You
Yeah.
know, like
But
they all,
you guys live in Farmville? Like, what is going on? Is it Facebook like
dude.
Farmville? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like super rural out here. Like, when people talk, they're just like, it's funny because they
I don't think you're
at the
allowed to call
gym.
it super rural when you guys have a Chick-fil-A. I don't think that's
For
allowed.
sure. But she, one of the girls and her husband at the gym, they were just like, I was like, hey, I missed you guys last week. You guys were in the gym on Tuesday, Thursday. And she's like, oh, we were reaping the harvest. And I was like, oh, that's funny. Like, was that like homework? Or they're like, oh no, we have an alfalfa farm out here. Like, we're reaping the harvest or whatever it is, you know?
Right.
And I was like, oh, that's a real thing. I
Oh,
thought that was
like
like
you really
biblical
meant
times.
reaping a harvest.
Yeah,
Me too. I'm a
exactly.
Christian and I was reaping a harvest of souls.
And so it's funny because they're like, it's really interesting how they're just like, oh yeah, and then we have this other farm over here where we get our chickens from, and we trade them for roosters so that their hens can lay eggs. And I'm just like, they're all connected. All of them are connected. They're like, you just gotta get in with the right farmer, and then they'll hook you up with a side of beef, you know, or whatever. And I'm like, I don't even know what I would do. I would just be like, can you just do it for me? Like, I don't know, you know. So, very interesting.
All right. So, what are we talking about this year or this season? I think this is the first season that we are going into without an actual solid plan. And maybe that's a bad idea.
I
But
know
I feel like it's
we
not.
talked about. You know, here's the thing is, like, we have some general ideas already of what we want to talk about.
Right.
Obviously, one of the biggest things that are, I mean, I think something that we need to continually kind of like look at is, it seems like every day, and I don't know about you, every day I get a Twitter alert that says, so and so of this big church is being investigated for soliciting to minors, or
Matt.
there was one guy who embezzled like 30 grand from his church. And like, you know, and it's like every day, every other day, it is another pastor in another scandal, you know, and that sort of thing, stepping down and all that stuff. So it's, I think as we kind of talk about the culture, you know, and that's the thing is that, you know, we talk about trying to create a culture in church, right? But man, we're not doing a very good job of it,
Right.
obviously, in the grand scheme of things, because when we say we're you know, creating culture, but all these pastors are absolutely failing like big time. and not just failing like recently, like decades of failing that finally came out, you know, in the light, right? Mm-hmm. It's just, I think it's there's a movement that is happening, and the movement is people call deconstruction sexy, and what we're saying is it's necessary, because without deconstruction and the way that we're kind of going through what the church has been teaching us, all of a sudden people are like, they're shocked for some reason. Like they're like, oh my gosh, I never thought that my pastor would ever do that. It's like,
right. I think we've talked about this where it's like, you don't actually know your pastor. Like just because you've sat in his church and listened to him preach for 15 or 20 years, that doesn't mean you know him. Like you don't know him. You know about him. You know what he reveals to you. You know what other people might say about him, but you don't know him. But they'll double down on like, no, but he would never do that. And that's fine. Like have a positive outlook, like think the best of them. But not to the extent that it hurts other people. Like they're not infallible. Like pastors aren't infallible. No. And they certainly aren't above discipline. I mean, my wife sent me an article today about Matt Chandler that just dropped literally today. We're recording on Monday, August 29th. And it just came down today that they said inappropriate.
Is that today?
Yeah. They said,
I thought I saw it a couple of days ago, but it was today.
Well, I mean, he preached. I mean, he said it yesterday, Sunday. Oh, okay. And like Christianity Today is kind of like releasing it and Religious News Network and stuff. So he just stepped aside yesterday and, you know, it's this idea. Like I followed Matt Chandler for a long time, like going on 15 years now. And it's this idea that, that he was involved in inappropriate conversations with another woman. But like once you read the article, it becomes this, there's some clarity that's given, at least from his perspective and the elder board's perspective, that it was actually conversations that his wife, like in Instagram Messenger, and his wife was fully aware of the conversations that were taking place. Her husband was fully aware of the conversation that was taking place. But the church policy was that those type of conversations are inappropriate if there's not another person involved in the conversation. So like his wife should have been added to the conversation or, you know, whatever.
We've talked about this before. We talked about this where like, we talked about being one-on-one with women. It was the whole Mike Pence thing, right? Mike Pence was like, oh, I can never have lunch one-on-one. But yeah. And it's like, is that not the same thing when we talk about, not saying that I do this, but like in a general sense, like.
But I do it. I have clients who are women and I'm in a room with them for an hour by myself.
You know, so that's the thing, it's just so weird, right? Because like what we're saying is, the church policy is you can't talk to a woman one-on-one because it might lead to something. Right. Like, are we devaluing women in that regard as far as that goes?
I think that there's some degree of that. I think that the intent maybe originally was like, we don't want to put ourselves in a position where there can be an accusation of impropriety. But I mean, like that just fosters views like women are temptresses and, you know, Jezebels and men can't control themselves. And I'm not saying that like it doesn't happen. It clearly happens. And that there are power imbalances, but like if I'm, I have friends who are mutual friends of ours and Sarah's, and like I'll post an Instagram story and they'll message a response or something or ask a question. And I'll have, you know, a few minutes of dialogue or, you know, a few lines of dialogue with them, and it's not inappropriate. So like, I guess in this case, a mutual or a friend of the woman's approached him and according to the article approached him in the lobby after a sermon and was just like, the conversation you're having with this woman is inappropriate. According to him, he was really kind of taken aback by it. It was just like, what? And immediately told a church elder and another lead pastor, and they looked into it and found that, yep, you are violating church policy and it is inappropriate. And so he's in a position where he's stepping aside and submitting church discipline, which I think one is a really good thing. Like, it's a really good example of what it looks like for a leader to submit. But two, part of me thinks, yeah, but he didn't really have a choice, because if he didn't step aside, that would look really bad. And it would just look like another megachurch pastor doubling down on, like, I'm in charge. And if he does step aside, there's always the concern that, like, maybe it's worse than initially it was. I remember a guy named Pete Wilson, I think out of Tennessee, maybe North Carolina, Tennessee, I think for sure. Yeah. Tennessee. He stepped down after 14 years and a church that he had planted, big mega church pastor, stepped aside or stepped down from his lead pastor teaching position and said that it was because he was just tired and he needed a break. And then it came out that he'd had inappropriate relationships with, I think, multiple women. So it's one of those things where it's just like, man, you like initially it's like, man, do you see like how the big church breaks pastors and just drains them? And then it comes out like, nope, you were doing bad things. So you felt bad for him initially. And then, you know, a few weeks in, a month, and it's just like, oh, you should have lied. And like, and so I like Matt Chandler. He says some problematic things occasionally. He is a Southern Baptist, which I don't have anything against Southern Baptists. I just think that some of their teaching is problematic. And for sure, there have been some Southern Baptist leaders that have been hugely problematic. John MacArthur, John Piper, with what they teach and what they say. And oh, not to mention the 700 other pastors who have sexually molested and abused other people over the last 20 years. So like, aside from all that, you know, like, that's not the whole Baptist church, but which Matt Chandler is part of the Southern Baptist Convention. Like, he's part of the SBC. So like, in light of all that stuff, he doesn't really have a choice. Like, he could buck the system and it would look real bad, but God, I hope that nothing worse comes out. Like, I hope it is what it is. He submits to his discipline, he realigns with church, and then he finds a way back because they provide a way to reconcile.
Yeah. So yeah. So, you know, I just think that it's just really interesting how the conversation is still to be had as far as, like, you know, these kind of situations that continue to happen, you know. And then we also, you know, along with that, you know, we want to talk about this. I know we've talked a little bit about Christian nationalism, but right, when we start talking about.
And so before we get into that, I was thinking, it actually, we should do a whole episode on Christian nationalism, and we can lead that off into the American readout that we want to talk about.
Yep. That's exactly what I was going to say. Yep.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
Because I just didn't want you to start like launching into opinions and stuff, because we got a couple articles we're going to talk about, and it is, would you say that calling it problematic is putting it mildly? Like,
I mean,
I feel like it's a bigger problem than just problematic.
I'm just saying, here's the thing, is that, like, yeah, I don't want to go too extreme,
right,
and I don't want to be too dramatic, but it's one of the things where, like, I think that there's some rooted terrorism in Christian nationalism.
I think, like, that it props, I think I agree with you. I think it props up domestic terrorism.
Because the thing is that, like, you know, you think of, like, Middle Eastern terrorist group. We call them terrorist group.
Right.
In their country, they're Quran following Muslim religion who goes to Mecca and that sort of thing. But
there's
actually a lot of Muslims
that don't agree with, like, the fundamentalist, like, far extreme, but it's the equivalent, the thing that you're talking about.
You know, we would call them terrorists, but they have just an ideology around a central mission to bring liberation. They feel like, to a people who are being misled by, you know, whoever.
Right.
It's the same thing with Christian nationalism, is, you know, is that whole thing where it's like, oh, Well, if you don't believe that making America great again is your central mission as a Christian, then you are not part of our group. And that's counterproductive to,
I just we'll talk for sure. We'll talk more about it, but I just had this conversation with a friend who we were talking about not specifically Christian nationalism, but like what our job is as Christians to let the Bible influence or our Christian worldview influence the way that we interact with politics. And he was like, I was like, look, like part of my thing is like, I don't think that we're called to change the culture. Like, I don't think that we're called to like lift up and implement change within the American, like to make American or to make America like a Christian nation. And he was like, yeah, but like, as we like invite people into following Christ, they will naturally like that will naturally spread out and it will make America better. And I was like, I know that that might be a product of it, but I don't care. Like the thing that I'm telling you that you don't understand, because you're trying to make it sound like we're talking the same thing. And I'm telling you, I don't care about that. Like, my goal is not to make America a better place. My goal is to invite people into the community of believers, the kingdom of heaven, so that they can experience individually and communally what it looks like to live abundant life as Jesus described it, in spite of the American government. Like I don't care about the American government functioning, even with Christian leaders, as a Christian, as a reflection of the kingdom of heaven. I care about believers gathering together and trying to live their lives toward other people as a reflection of the kingdom of heaven. That's what I care about. And if that changes things, I guess cool. But I'm not a necessary part of, for me, what it looks like to follow Christ. So
Right. Yeah, and so big. There's a group, obviously, that we talked about, the American Readout, or the Great Readout, and essentially, it's forming their own ISIS group in America,
Yeah, I think so.
and so we want to talk about that, and we want to do another, book in the Bible. I think that our James thing was awesome, so I'd like to do another book in the Bible. We've talked about potentially doing the me actually, I have it right here. Sorry, I'm gonna make you float here for a second.
No, that's fine.
The Good Guy's Guide to Great Sex by Gregoire. We talked about the last season, we did the Great Sex Rescue
I think
by
we started the
Sheila.
season with our book review of it, the four of us, and
Yeah.
then the ladies interviewed Sheila.
Yeah. So we'd like to potentially read that book and get her husband onto the podcast to talk about the book.
That'd be cool. No promises. Like, we haven't like verified any of that yet. We're just saying stuff.
Is this some ideas we'd like to do? And then I thought there was one other one. I can't remember
Well,
now.
I want to do a so the book review, a book of the Bible. We're going to talk about Christian nationalism and the American readout. We might pick a like a topic, like I don't know, salvation, or what God's character, whatever. Maybe we'll pick a topic. But I also have an idea for a project that I'd like to do that is, I'm not gonna, I'll do this. I'll give you a teaser, and it's the initials of it is BPP. And Bruce is not the B. So,
Bruce Phil Pagano.
yeah, Bruce Phil Pagano. My
Dr.
Phil's not my
Phil.
middle name. Dr. Phil. Yep. But I have this idea for a project that will be presented by the Folding Chair Theology, and will involve, like, it'll be like a short 6-episode series or something like that. So, but I need to do some closing on that. So hopefully in the next few weeks, I will get better grounding on that. So,
yeah.
So that's what we're hoping this season looks like.
Yeah. So yeah, it's going to be really good. You know, we always have something to talk about, and here's the thing is, churches give us plenty of things to talk about. You know, fortunately, because it's like I said, it's every day, every other day, I'm right. getting some big breaking news. You know, this church of 7,000 people's pastor embezzled $30,000 from the church to go spend it on vacation with his mistress. Right. You know, and you're like good Lord, what? Man. And then they're like, don't worry though, we're biblically counseling him.
Right.
You know, like,
thank God.
Yeah, you know, that's probably another episode is what is biblical counseling. Is that legit?
We talked about the difference between counsel and counseling. Maybe it's a worth the conversation, but the answer is no.
Right.
Like I don't think I actually had this conversation today with a client who said was talking about some biblical counseling they received, and just the stuff that they shared was just like no. Nope.
Yeah.
I actually have a tweet or a status that I'm getting ready to put out that is very, I was going to say passive aggressive, but I think it's overtly aggressive. Right. It's going to make people mad. Some specific people, I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it because I'm tired of seeing this stuff around it. And it's hurtful. And it is creating problems, and I'm tired of seeing it. So I want to kind of address it. But I don't think that biblical counseling is a real thing. I think that biblical counsel is a real thing. I think that you can use, like, pastors, most of them are really bad counselors because they're not counselors. I think that giving biblical counsel is significantly different than biblical counseling. And I have had people sit in my office, and I've sat in church offices and done counseling with people and have them tell me, like, I'm not allowed to acknowledge that I was a victim. Oh, this horrible thing happened to me, that I did not consent to. And that, was an act of violence against me, but I'm not allowed to acknowledge that I was a victim because I don't want to live in a victim mentality. And I'm like, that's garbage, because you can't move on until you tell that story, because that event is part of your story. And when we are stifled and told that we can't tell that part of the story because we'll get stuck in a victim mentality, that is literally not trauma-informed, and it's literally not counseling. And it's the biggest piece of shit advice that I've ever heard anyone ever give.
Right.
You're not going to get stuck in a victim mentality if you acknowledge that you've been a victim. In fact, probably what will happen is you will begin healing. So, and if you're involved in a marriage where infidelity occurs, and a biblical, you know, quote unquote, biblical counselor asks you to acknowledge your part in that infidelity, they are they're part of the problem, and they are not biblical counsel, or they are not counselors, and they are just perpetuating false guilt shifting. So they're not helping you. They're just going to cause more problems, because if your partner commits infidelity, you are not responsible for that. Now, are you responsible for the quality of your marriage prior to that infidelity? Mm-hmm. Yep. But you cannot even talk about that until you address the infidelity and you atone, and there's atonement made for it, and you guys work through that space and deal with the trauma of relationship injury and betrayal. And that person takes 100% responsibility for the decision that they made, that their partner, by the way, did not make, even though they knew the relationship was in disarray. You know what I'm saying? Because only one person made that decision. Nobody drove you to it. You chose. You could have turned and said, I want to divorce you. I hate this, and left. But no, you chose another way where you betrayed their trust. And that's your fault. And if you're a pastor and your, you know, quote unquote, counseling theory leads you to apply responsibility to the non-offending party, you're not a counselor. You're part of the problem, and you're not helping anybody heal. You're actually just letting the person responsible for the infidelity or the betrayal, you're letting them off the hook. And that is not grace. It's not grace. Right. It's abuse. So,
right.
Yeah. Dang it. Why'd you get me on that tangent, man?
I'm good at that. Come on now.
I take it serious because I'm actually a licensed counselor.
Yeah, and right.
Actually do marriage counseling. That's not based on an anecdotal book that has no empirical support behind it. It's just right. someone's good idea. So, yeah. And you know, I wrote a book right there.
Yeah.
And it's biblically based. Like I grounded it in biblical theology. I'm not a theologian. I'm a folding chair theologian. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did go to seminary, and so I do understand exegesis. But I also acknowledge this is just my good idea. There are other books that are written that are similar to it, but by and large, not scripture, just my good idea. And so yeah. if someone rejects it, okay. Okay. But please don't counsel people using it. You know what I'm saying? Like, please don't like direct someone's spiritual life using it. There are some suggestions in how to form missional community in there, but like, it is not a, like, it's not a blueprint for like how to run your religious life. There's just some good ideas in there. So,
yeah,
for anyway, sure. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. So there you go. There's a sneak peek of the season.
Yeah. Church. I love church.
You know, to be honest, I'll tell you this, it's one of those things where I miss church, right? Like I do miss it. Like I miss the worship. I miss the men's breakfasts. I miss, all that kind of stuff. But it's almost like someone who decides to start eating healthy, and they start seeing all the benefits of eating healthy, mm-hmm. and they're like, man, I miss cake. And it's like, you know what? Maybe
nachos.
Maybe
I would have missed nachos.
Yeah, nachos or maybe cake or ice cream or some of that. Maybe once in a while it's okay. Like, yeah. But when you start having it every single night and mm-hmm. then you trick yourself in thinking, well, I'm not gonna do this forever. I'm gonna lose weight someday. Right. And it just never happens. And you realize that it becomes dangerous for you. And that's mm-hmm. kinda like how I'm like, it's like I miss all that stuff, but it's so dangerous to even go to a church anymore. And the thing is that a lot of people don't see it that way, but it really is when you start talking about these hundreds and thousands of pastors, Christian pastors, not mentioning any other religions, just specifically Christian pastors, mm-hmm. how they're rooted in pedophilia and adultery and financial crimes and it's like,
and like
you just think it's not going to be
before. It's not every church. No. But the truth is, and people would be like, oh, like you got to trust your local leaders. I'm not saying you don't trust them. I'm just saying like maybe you look for a community where you're actually close with those in leadership, and there's some pluralistic leadership where, there's a closeness that allows for genuine community. And you're known, like, because when you're known, it's harder to like, I don't know. It just, I don't know. Not every church is like that, but I just wonder, like more and more, I think nobody's immune. Like,
well, in those 700 churches with those pastors from the Southern Baptists, none of those churches said, well, that's not going to be my pastor.
Right.
They all said that. They all said, it's not going to be our pastor. It's always some other pastor. You know, that dude, Jim down the road. Oh, yeah, I could tell he was a bad pastor. But my pastor would never do that. Right. And then they show up on that list. And it's like, you think to yourself, well, that's not my pastor. My pastor's not part of the Southern Baptist. It's like, but it's not just the Southern. It's all of them. Like, right. So, yeah. So it's just one of those things where it's just like, man, I would love to be able to go to church, but the cost and what is it called? The cost benefit.
Yeah, the cost benefit.
is
cost too much compared to what you get out of it.
Like my own selfishness is like, I want people to hug me and, oh, you're amazing, and
right,
oh, you're a drummer and blah, blah, and all kind of stuff. But at the cost of my little 5 or 6 year old, something happening to her,
right,
like in Sunday school, like would that have been worth it?
And yeah. I mean, that's a whole nother level. I mean, just in general, like, you know, health wise, you know, what are you putting your family into, like our son's in youth, and I don't think anything's going to happen to him, but I do worry about like what's being taught, like the thing that he's being taught.
Right.
And we just started, like teaching every couple weeks. We're doing some youth teaching for our, you know, youth age kids. And then the opposite 2 weeks, we're doing some kid teaching with our kid, you know, elementary age kids. And, you know, I mean, like, I just feel better about, you know, will it matter? I don't know. I hope so. But I feel better about what I know that he's getting taught versus what I know was being taught, and not just being taught, but like the way that it was being delivered and like the peripheral things that were happening. That were caught instead of taught, you know, that worried me, like there were, and that there was no response to it. It was just like, and that's part of the problem, is like, not that you should bow to every, like, but like, you don't have any say. So when you're like, hey, this is problematic, it's just like, yeah, we're taking care of it. And right. Then it's like, but are you? I don't think, I feel like you're not. Because exactly. You haven't addressed it, but okay, whatever.
Exactly. So,
anyway, yeah. So that's our season. That's coming up. We'll see. We'll see what it looks like.
All right. Very good. Well, I am. Yeah, I'm definitely excited for the new season coming up. I hope everyone else is too. And yeah. All right. Well, I guess until next week when we start talking about our next topic, which it'll be a surprise to everybody.
I think we're starting with let's start with Christian nationalism. I'll see if I can get my buddy on to talk about Civil War on one of the potential for Civil War on one of the American readout ones. So that should be like three or four episodes.
Let's do it. Yeah, that sounds good to me. So all right, very good. Cool. Well, we will see you next week on the podcast. Until then, keep on folding God's word each and every day, and we will see you next time on Folding Chair Theology.
Cool. See you later.
Peace out.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to Folding Chair Theology. You can follow Bruce on multiple social media platforms at bpags2, as well as Justin Mercier on Instagram at justinmercier13. Additionally, you can check us out on Facebook and Instagram at Folding Chair Theology. Until then, keep unfolding God's word each and every day. Thank you.